Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And today we are going to have chapter 14, and to enlighten on this chapter 14, we have with us His Grace Srinivas Acharya Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Srinivas Acharya Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining the session and giving your very precious time and association and ending on the topic. I hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. All the devotees assembled here, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I hope you're able to hear me okay.
Yes, Prabhu.
Okay, thank you. So we will get started. I will sing Jai Radha Madhava and we'll start. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Jaya Gopi Janavallabha Girivaradhari. Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashodanandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe. Jaya Gauranitai Gauranitai Gauranitai. Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ashta Sikhi Bandha Ki Jai Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki Jai Shri La Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Angum Langhayate Girim. Yat Krupatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Chaitanyam Ishvaram. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna, I would like to thank Kirti Dasundari Mataji and the devotees here at Bhakti Sangha for kindly inviting me for this session today. I have to apologize, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare. I was deep down working on some things at my company. And when Kirti Sundari Mataji asked, I took that as an indication from Krishna that I need to get out get out of the deep entanglement somehow or the other. So I told my friends at work that I'll take a few hours off today. So Please bear with me if it is not up to your standards. So it's a very deep chapter. I'm going to share my screen. Can anyone tell me if you're able to see my screen, please?
Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah. So the title of this chapter is The Ecstasy of the Lord and His Devotees. This is from Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And as most of you, probably each one of you who have been studying this regularly in this session, know that this is a summary study, you could say, of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada wrote this book before he gave Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it contains very, very important philosophical instructions, philosophical teachings that were discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. One time my Guru Maharaj told me that one devotee from ISKCON, he was talking to another Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya from Gaudiya Math about Srila Prabhupada giving teachings of Lord Chaitanya, a summary in summary form. And then that another Vaishnava teacher, he asked, oh, what's the content of the book? Then he explained that there are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, discussions with Ramananda Raya, Prakashananda Saraswati, Sarabhauma Bhattacharya. So these are the subject matters. Then that Acharya said, very nice. That's perfect. It has everything. So this little book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, it has everything. It's very profound. However, just looking at this one chapter, it takes a long time to understand these things. Practically each of these paragraphs could be a class. So my mind was spinning. How could I even summarize these things? How could I even talk on this subject? But as I said, for my own purification, I took it as an indication that Krishna is telling me to get out of too much material entanglement. So I won't be discussing everything in this chapter. There is one section on this chapter that I actually discussed in one of my previous sessions. So I'm going to skip that part, but I will kind of highlight certain things along the way, but I'll try to summarize, what's going on in this chapter. So I hope everybody knows that this chapter is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's instructing Srila Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami is one of the Shed Goswamis. On the temple altar, you see the picture of six Goswamis. And the eldest amongst the six Goswamis is Srila Sanatana Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya is teaching these instructions to Srila Sanatana Goswami. Okay, I hope you're able to see the presentation.
Yes, Prabhuji.
So there are many things, as I said, in this chapter, but I just condensed them into these sections. Srila Prabhupada talks about five different rasas. He also calls it as devotional attitude in five categories. And then he talks something about the permanent love and various kinds of tastes. So these are the explanations of different, not the five rasas, the primary categories, but the expression of those rasas in different ways, which is in a permanent stage called sthayi bhava, and it is mixed with other kinds. So this is one kind of section you'll see Srila Prabhupada talking about some of these things. And then there is the supremacy of conjugal love in terms of the five main rasas. The topmost one is the conjugal love. And then Srila Prabhupada discusses about the qualities of Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani. And of course, these are also in the context of the rasas. They are not separate. By the way, can you please tell me which screen are you seeing? Are you seeing full screen, or are you also seeing the next slide one?
We are also seeing the next slide one, Prabhuji.
Okay, so I think, all right, do you see it better now?
Now it's much better.
Okay, thank you. I got a new computer. Okay. So, and these qualities of Sri Krishna and Srimati Radharani are also part of, this second section, permanent love and various kinds of rasas. I'll talk about that when we get there, how it is related. And then the qualifications to understand this transcendental subject matter. It's not easy. We are reading something very topmost by being situated, at a very, very lower stage. I'm speaking about myself. I beg for forgiveness. There may be devotees who are very advanced. So from that lower stage, it's very difficult to understand this subject matter. So Lord Chaitanya also gives the qualifications to be able to understand these things. And then finally, there's a section where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives his benediction to Sanatana Goswami. So I also have some more slides on, when it comes to the qualifications of the, in order to do this, if we, need to, if we have time, depending on how the course of the class will go, we can go into that section as well, which gives some foundational background of these things. So five relationships with Krishna. In Sanskrit, it is called Shanta, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. So the English words here Srila Prabhupada has used is peacefulness. This is Shantarasa. Shanta means peaceful. If somebody is, there's violence and people say Shanti, Shanti, and they protest for peace. But here Shanta is not just, okay, leave me alone, I need some peace kind of stuff, not necessarily that. It is also one of the stages of devotion to Krishna. But in this Shanta stage, primarily Krishna uses us when he wants us to. We are not actively trying to serve Krishna, but Krishna will use us. For example, Krishna's flute. Now when Krishna plays the flute, flute does his service, and when that's not there, Krishna puts the flute aside. So in the stage of Shanta. And next one is Dasya. Is there in Dasya, there is active service to the Lord as a master and servant. One is executing service to the master on whatever instructions the master may give. So we actively try to serve the master. And then there is Sakhya. Sakhya means friendship. So in this relationship, there is equality with Krishna. So whereas there's kind of passiveness here, but there's active service here. Now at this level, there is equality with Krishna in the relationship of friendship. And then next one is parental affection, which is called Vatsalya. Now this is an interesting concept. In this relationship, one takes a superior position to Krishna. Whereas we are actually servants of the Lord, now you come to equal stage and now you're superior to the Lord. And a devotee thinks that Krishna is dependent on him and he tries to take care of Krishna. This is unique in our tradition. And then there's conjugal love for Krishna, which is the topmost one. Now, this is higher than Vatsalya because there's more intimacy with Krishna in this rasa, and it gives a lot of happiness to Krishna. It gives the greatest pleasure to Krishna, this rasa. So all these are different relationships a living entity can exchange with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now, this overview of rasas, I should probably show you one slide here. Let me see if I can remove this thing here. Okay, do full screen on this one. Present. Okay. Rotate, but rotation is disabled. Zoom. Okay, that's not going to work. So I'll zoom here. I was hoping to remove some of the real estate. It's okay. Okay, so this is the nectar of devotion. This is Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. So Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. Bhakti means devotion. Rasa, Srila Prabhupada uses the word mellow. And Srila Prabhupada took that word from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He translates rasa as mellow. Bhakti Rasa Amrita. Amrita means nectar, immortality. And Sindhu means ocean. The ocean of the nectarian ocean of the nectarian ocean of bhakti. Bhakti, the nectarian ocean of mellows of bhakti. So that's what Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. Now an ocean has different sides, east, west, north, south. Okay, so, and similarly, this ocean of devotion that Srila Rupa Goswami has given us, it also is divided into different sides of the ocean. And then each side has different waves. So you may go to an ocean, go to a beach, and you see many waves coming out in the ocean. So this particular section, so this is Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. And we have, let me see if I can have any drawing type of tool. Can I have annotations? No. Unfortunately, I don't have PDF or anything. I think I can use probably Zoom, some sort of annotations from Zoom. Controls. I don't think so. Reactions. Okay, we don't have Zoom annotations. So I'll try to somehow highlight, let's see. Okay, I can do that. So you see northern ocean, northern side, western side, southern side, and then there is eastern side. So this eastern side is typically what devotees study as part of Bhakti Shastri. The first 19 chapters of Nectar of Devotion is this eastern side. And however, this section that we are reading today, it comes into the southern side of the ocean. Okay. And in this southern side of the ocean, now you see the things that Srila Prabhupada is talking about, they're basically coming from the southern side. Overview of rasa, that's what I had for my slide title, if you have seen here, overview of rasa. And there's vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, vyabhichari bhava, and sthayi bhava. So this is all the southern ocean, the subject matter that's in this chapter. It's very big. If you can imagine that eastern side itself is for Bhakti Shastri, several weeks of study. So these are the things, these are the five things that Srila Prabhupada was talking about by, of course, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to Sanatana Goswami. Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyabhichari Bhava, and Sthayi Bhava. Now, within that one, the Vibhava has two divisions called Uddipana and Alambana. And that's what Srila Prabhupada also mentioned, these things, Uddipana, Alambana. So I'll just talk briefly about those two things. So let's see what they are. So Vibhava is described as causes of ecstasy. Okay. That which causes ecstasy in a devotee. Now, there has to be some stimulus. That stimulus, that stimulating thing that causes ecstasy, it is called Vibhava. And it is divided into, Alambana and Uddipana. Now, it's an overlapping concept. Alambana means its support. It is something on which, you know, we can stand. That is Alambana. And then there is Uddipana. So now, I don't want to go into too much technical terms because you will leave this class with more confusion than you came with. So it talks about devotee, it talks about Krishna, and it talks about Krishna's qualities. So these are the three things that this Vibhava section covers: Krishna, devotee, and the qualities. So Krishna is the object of devotee's love. So our devotional service is totally centered around Krishna. And Krishna is the object of our service. And we, the devotees, are considered ashraya. Krishna is vishaya, devotees are ashraya. Ashraya means shelter, but we are not giving shelter to Krishna. But devotion is present in the devotees. So therefore, devotees are a reservoir of devotion. Therefore, they are called ashraya for the devotion, for the bhakti. So now there is person Krishna and there are qualities of Krishna. So in Alambana, Krishna as a person is the objective. In Uddipana, Krishna's gunas, his qualities, his activities, these are the center. And of course, they are interdependent. Krishna has qualities and qualities are within Krishna. So that's the part of overlapping that I was talking about. But when you separate it as Vishaya and Ashraya, these technical terms, then it's discussed under Alambana and the gunas are highlighted in Uddipana. So for now, just think of three things in this Vibhava section: Krishna, devotees, and the qualities, guna. How long is this class? Keep this, Nari Mataji. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, that's fine, Prabhu. I know the subject matter is very detailed. So maybe till 12.0, okay. Like 1.5 hours class is fine.
Okay. So I try not to take so long, but I'm just asking. So because I have a tendency to get lost. So now, one example in this section is the ecstasy can be aroused when we say person Krishna. It could be Krishna, you know, directly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. And sometimes Krishna himself becomes disguised. He's Krishna himself, but he's disguised. And sometimes Krishna also means Krishna's expansion as different things. Any of them can invoke great love and ecstasy in a devotee's heart. Now, let me give examples. One is like Anya Rupa, when Krishna takes on a different form. We all know Brahma Vimohana Leela. Lord Brahma was bewildered when Krishna killed demon Aghasura. Lord Brahma was, oh wow, is he, you know, really the Supreme Lord? Let me test him. Let me test his powers. And Brahma, he steals Krishna's cows. And what happens when Brahma steals Krishna's cows? Krishna's cows are gone. And Krishna's, all his friends are gone. I don't want to go into that story because then it takes the whole class. So when that happens, Krishna himself expands as all the different cowherd boys and all the different calves, each one with unique characteristics. The way the boys walk, the way they talk, the way they look, or their expressions, everything. Krishna expanded and matched all of those things, so much so that everybody thought they're original. But however, there was one difference. And that difference was seen across the board in Sri Vrindavanda. Everybody started loving Krishna. Everybody started loving their own children more than they were loving their children prior to Brahma stealing them. Now, why is that? Because all of their children were Krishna themselves. And all the cows, they started loving Krishna. They started loving their calves also more than they were loving their calves before. The fathers were loving their sons more. The mothers were loving their sons more. The cows were loving the calves more. And this was a shocking thing for Balaram, because Balaram saw this. You know, what is this? These are just, you know, cows that were there, but even I'm being attracted to these cows so much. I'm being attracted to all these cowherd friends so much than I was before. And same thing is happening to all the residents of Vrindavan. So the object that is stimulating their ecstasy is Krishna. Because Krishna came in Anya Rupa. Krishna came in a different form. Even though he comes in a different form, pure devotees, their love comes out. One time, I believe it was His Holiness Radhanath Swami was telling a story. I think he was quoting one of his friends who said that, I believe, is a devotee is like a dog. And a dog recognizes his master no matter what form the master will come in. It can smell and figure out, this is my master. And the dog will jump and try to lick the master's feet. And same thing with devotee. In the highest levels of ecstasy, in pure devotional service, in bhava, in prema, that ecstasy will come out even when Krishna comes in Anya Rupa, as a cowherd boy, as a calf. And Balarama says a verse in Bhagavatam. What is this? Adbhutam, Ahodbhutam. And this is Apurvam. I mean, it never happened before. Why am I feeling like this? Whose magic is going on? And how can I be, you know, ignorant of this fact? This is none other than Krishna. This is my Lord, my Master, Krishna's potency. He himself has done this. So Lord Balarama becomes ecstatic. And that ecstasy is vibhava in alambana. And sometimes Krishna, he doesn't come in another form, but he is himself, Krishna himself. But it can be avrita rupa, means his covered form. Avrita, he comes in disguise. Krishna himself, but in disguise. Now, what does that mean? In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada gives this example. There he says, I believe, in Srimad Bhagavatam, but probably it may be from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Uddhava, one time he was in Dwaraka, and he sees one of the queens walking, you know, someone dressed up like a queen and walking around. And Uddhava gets attracted to this queen, and so much devotion in him is coming to this queen. Who is this? And he's amazed. How come I'm feeling so much devotion to this queen? Oh, this is Krishna. Becomes ecstatic. This is Krishna. So Krishna in Dwaraka one time, he wanted to dress up like one of his queens. So he, you know, puts on the sari and you know, all the ornaments, and dresses himself up like a queen. But Uddhava's devotion, you know, it just sprang up because, as I said, the dog recognizes its master. And he's, even though the Lord is in Avrita Rupa, it's there. And then what to speak up? Speak of his own Swarupa. In Krishna's own form, it doesn't need to be described. And we can talk about that in a section of Krishna's qualities. So this is Vibhava. And it could be like, you know, a mother loves the child, and that affection is already there in the heart. All the living entities have prema for Krishna, but right now we are covered by ignorance, avidya. It has to be brought out. So even in the stage of advanced devotion, sometimes a stimulus is the one that brings it out, that stimulus. For example, a mother and a baby. Mother loves the baby, natural. But the love is in the background and mother is doing her things. And when she sees the child doing some activity, for example, the child is going and the baby just learned how to walk, and then he's trying to open the fridge and steal something out of it. The mother is looking and her love just springs up. So these are the things that stimulate the mother's affection. And I'll briefly give, you know, the what these different things mean here. We will not go into details. There's lots to cover. So Anubhava is the subsequent ecstasy that follows. You know, once it stimulates, then the love expressed, you know, the mother takes the baby in the lap and kisses. But the subsequent ecstasy is Anubhava. And then the next one is Sattvika Bhava. We all know this Ashtasattvika Vikara, the eight transformations that happens in the body, tears and hair standing on end and different types of emotions. So whereas in the Anubhava, there may be conscious exchange of love, in the Sattvika Bhava, without awareness, transformations are happening. Okay. And in Vyabhichari Bhava, it's as aggressive ecstasy. These are certain situations which cause some sort of intense aggressive reaction. For example, when Guru Maharaj gives his example, when Kaliya bound Krishna in his coil and in his hoods and trying to kill Krishna, imagine Mother Yashoda. She fainted, but before fainting, she was like crazy. And my Guru Maharaj said, we probably would have heard things from Mother Yashoda's mouth which you would have never heard, and which you have never heard. Scolding Kaliya, what are you doing to my child? Leave him. And aggressive reaction with so much love for the subject Krishna. Vyabhichari Bhava, one example, it's deep subject matter. And Sthayi Bhava is that ultimate final situation. The continuous, the main foundational basis of these things. The way Srila Prabhupada says is Sthayi Bhava, he describes as that permanent love. If you see that permanent love, but then it's mixed with various kinds of things, he says, which are these things, these four other things. So Sthayi Bhava is the foundational thing for these things. So that's on that section. So I have these things here from Srila Prabhupada's, what he has given in the chapter. Specifically about Uddipana, he gives more things. Uddipanas include, I said, one is Krishna's person and other are Krishna's gunas. So Uddipana is about Krishna's gunas. Uddipanas include Krishna's transcendental qualities, his activities, his beautiful smiling face, and the aroma of his body, the sounds of his flute, ankle bells, and conch shell, the marks on the soles of his feet, his dwelling place, and his paraphernalia of devotional service, such as tulasi leaves, devotees, ceremonial performances, and Ekadashi. Each of these things, we can find some stories. The marks on the soles of his feet, right? And we can think of Akrura. When Akrura went to Vrindavana, the first time he was going to see Krishna, and looking at those footprints, Akrura becomes ecstatic. He rolls in the dust. So many things, and tulasi leaves, kumaras, the fragrance of his lotus feet mixed with the tulasi leaves, when it entered into the nostrils of the four kumaras, it created a great agitation in their heart, in their mind, even though they were totally detached from all sorts of things in the material world. So Srila Prabhupada writes more here, an anubhava occurs when feelings and emotions within oneself are exhibited. In the attitude of anubhava, one dances and sometimes falls down, sometimes sings loudly, shows convulsions, yawns, and sometimes breathes very heavily, all without concern for circumstances. Jata anurago druta chitta uchai hasati hasati roditi rauti unmadavan rityati. So a devotee becomes mad in all these feelings. Once the stimulation is done, then the anubhava comes in. So this is the section where Srila Prabhupada discussed those things. Then Prabhupada goes back to different types of relationships. The particular flavors of tastes, and then he says they're known as primarily neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, and conjugal love. Conjugal love is very prominent, and it is symptomized by the devotees decorating his body to attract Krishna. Now, at the beginning, Srila Prabhupada described that it is very difficult to understand these things. And what happens when people don't understand this, they try to interpret in their own ways, and it becomes crazy. However, there's a transcendental reality. So the only reason Radharani and the gopis, they dress up themselves, is for Krishna's pleasure. And they know what's pleasing to Krishna. Oh, Krishna likes this color dress, and Radharani puts on that color dress. So servitorship also has anger, friendship, and attachment, fraternity. So one thing is, these relationships, as they mature, some particularly the servitorship, then there may be some closeness developed. A servant, sometimes my Guru Maharaj gives this example of a car driver, becomes so close with his master that sometimes master reveals him so many secret things, even about his family, what's going on in the company, and even seeks some advice because the servant is very close. And similarly, in the friendship also, you may see some level of taking care of the friend. Like Balarama, even though he's like, Krishna's friend, equals, and he has also this mode of being a little bit of, parent to Krishna. So there are certain things you will see, but the main relationships are fixed in that aspect. There's a relationship of friendship, and then there is parenthood and all these things. So, but the highest one, and in all these relationships, there can be bhava and prema. These are all you know, highest levels of devotion can be exhibited in these things in their own way. And each of them are perfect. It's not like, oh, something is better than the other. It's not like that. Every relationship is sweet because it is meant for Krishna's pleasure. A cowherd boy thinks, why is it that Krishna loves me the most? That's what the cowherd boy thinks. Krishna is my best friend. And he also thinks, Krishna thinks I am his best friend. And that, it works like that in the transcendental realm. In the material world, it is not possible. But in the spiritual realm, these are possible. And then Srila Prabhupada goes into this yoga and viyoga, meeting and separation. And these things exist in other rasas also. Even the cows are waiting. Cows and calves are waiting to see Krishna next day. And the cowherd boys, they can't sleep at night. When are we going to go play with Krishna tomorrow? And Mother Yashoda, she is going with Krishna. He's taking Krishna's lunch bag. Going little bit. Krishna is saying, Ma, you go home. And Mother Yashoda, she's not going to go home. She's just looking at Krishna and going behind him. Says, Ma, you said you'll make me this wonderful dish tonight. He said, you'll make me rasgullas. Said, oh, yeah, I have to cook for you. He said, go home, prepare your stuff. Then she goes to please Krishna through some other service. So this yoga, viyoga, separation, ecstasy in meeting, separation, it may exist in different rasas. But the highest situation of these things is experienced in the conjugal rasa. And this we discussed in relation to the queens of Dwaraka. There is a section in Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmara Gita, where Radharani is talking to a bumblebee and she's in total ecstasy in being separation from Krishna. And particularly the one exhibited by the queens of Dwaraka, we discussed in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, I believe the last chapter in relation to that. And these things are really, really advanced topics, but we can see that kind of devotion is possible. And we can just worship these leelas so that our insignificant bhakti creeper also will grow properly and develop proper love and devotion to the Lord. So these couple of paragraphs, they discuss the ecstasies that happen when they meet and when they separate. And sometimes even when they meet, there is fear of separation. The queens of Dwaraka, Krishna is lying down in the bed. Krishna is sleeping and they are sleeping, but they get out of the bed and looking at Krishna. And they're afraid of separation. And they go crazy thinking that Krishna is leaving them. And so many different emotions are expressed by queens of Dwaraka. Looking at the swan, looking at the moon, looking at the mountain, looking at the rivers. So many different emotions comes in them. And after these, describing these things, now we said Krishna's qualities will invoke love and devotion. Krishna's qualities. So then what are his qualities? What is the guna? What are the gunas that will invoke this love and devotion? And Krishna has 64 different qualities. 64 qualities. And all the 64 qualities are described. And the first 50 qualities, let's see if I can have a different color of pointer. Okay. The first 50 qualities, they can also be possible in a jiva, in a living entity. Now, when we say a living entity can have 50 qualities, not quantitatively, but qualitative qualities. Even qualities, we don't have all the qualities Krishna has. We have only some of the qualities Krishna has. And that some of the qualities of Krishna we have in minute quantity. So Jiva can possess up to 150 of them, up to 50 of them. And then I should have said here Lord Shiva, I put Brahma. Brahma also is included up to some extent. So, and up to 55 qualities, Srila Prabhupada says, these 50 qualities are fragmentally present in every living entity. Sorry, this is about the 50 qualities. When a human being is completely spiritually free and situated in his original condition, all these qualities can be perceived in him in minute quantity. Right? So in a conditioned state, we will not have even all these 50. But in a liberated stage, when we are spiritually properly situated, we can have these qualities, but in minute quantity. Next, there are five other transcendental qualities which can be seen in Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, and partially in Lord Shiva also. But they are not visible in ordinary living entities. So what are they? These qualities are, he is always situated in his original condition. He is omniscient. He is evergreen or always fresh. He is eternally blissful and is the master of all perfection. So these qualities, of course, all of these are found in Krishna, including Vishnu, up to 60 qualities, and partially in Lord Shiva, these five qualities, partially in Lord Shiva. Now, there are five others which can be seen in the spiritual sky, especially in the Vaikuntha planets, where Narayana is the predominating deity. And these are, he has inconceivable potencies. Now, interesting thing is, we have to achintya shakti. We have to understand that God has inconceivable potencies. Sometimes, we tend to question, why is God doing this? How can Krishna do this? Or how is it possible for Krishna to do this? Then we should understand Krishna has inconceivable ways of doing things which we cannot grasp around our tiny brain, intelligence. Our domain of influence, our domain of intellectual influence is very small, very, very, very small, extremely small. Even if you go to a doctor, oh, you're a doctor, you know, I have a problem, can you help me? He says, I'm sorry, I'm an eye doctor, only I can do that. Someone else say, I'm sorry, I can only do ears. So even a doctor doesn't know full doctor work. What to speak of other subject matters? So Lord is unlimited and he has inconceivable potencies. And it starts with Narayana. The Vishnu Tattvas have these inconceivable potencies. And he's able to sustain innumerable universes. He is the source of all incarnations. Of course, Krishna is the ultimate source. But we also know that this list includes the Purusha avatars as well. We see that other avatars, they are coming through Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, different avatars. He grants the highest perfection to those enemies whom he kills. He gives liberation. We see many demons getting killed, and Agasura also, we are talking about Agasura, his soul merged in Krishna, Shishupala. He's attractive to self-realized persons. And Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgranthyapyurukrame Kurvantya Hetu Kim Bhaktin Ittam Bhuta Guno Harhi. The Lord is so great that those who are completely liberated from this material world also, they have no attraction to anything. But they get attracted to Krishna. That's how Sukadeva Goswami got attracted to Krishna. Four Kumaras got attracted to Krishna. They were Atmaramas. So Krishna has this potency to attract even the self-realized persons. Now when we say Krishna, Krishna has all these things. But Krishna and his expansions, various Narayana expansions, Vishnu Tattva, they have this potency as well. Now, there are special qualities, four different qualities that are unique to Krishna, that can be only found in Krishna, no one else. And what are they? Leela Madhurya. He's able to manifest wonderful pastimes. His leelas, Krishna's leelas are so attractive. You see, Uddhava, when Krishna left this planet, Uddhava is talking to Vidura. And he's just remembering what all Krishna has done. A couple of chapters in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto. 1, 2, and 3 also, to some extent. And he becomes so ecstatic speaking to Vidura about these beautiful leelas, pastimes of the Lord. However, amongst all the leelas, these wonderful pastimes of Krishna, the topmost leela is his Rasa Leela. And unfortunately, we don't understand it. It's inconceivable to our mundane senses. What exactly is this Rasa Leela? We all want to dance for a nice music. As soon as there's nice music, even a little child, there's some music, the child is also swinging back and forth. Party time. Everybody wants to sing and dance. Rasa Leela is the topmost sing and dance party. Weekend comes, you want some mundane gratification. People go to different places where there's good food and good music. And that good music and dance, everybody is looking for. But we don't know the true, the topmost, the purest form of the dance is this Rasa Leela dance. This is the topmost pastime that Krishna is performing. So much so that even Krishna himself is looking forward to that dance party. In the Brihad Vamana Purana, the Lord says, although I have many fascinating pastimes, by the way, these are from Nectar of Devotion. In the Brihad Vamana Purana, the Lord says, although I have many fascinating pastimes, whenever I think of the Rasa Leela, which I perform with the gopis, I become eager to have it again. There's one pastime that Krishna is very anxious to have it again and again. And that is this wonderful pastime of Rasa Leela. And so much so that Lakshmi Devi wanted to participate. She's sitting next to her husband, Narayana. But she's like, wow, I want to go to that party with you. I mean, you, in your form of Krishna, I want to go there. And she tried. She tried to join that party. But she could not. Even Goddess of Fortune, Lakshmi Devi, could not participate in that wonderful pastime. So that's a very unique pastime. There are so many of his wonderful pastimes, but specifically, Srila Rupa Goswami is pointing these things out. And one devotee has said, I know about Narayana, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, and I also know about many other incarnations of the Lord. Certainly, all the pastimes of such incarnations are exciting to my mind, but still, the pastimes of the Rasa Leela performed by Lord Krishna himself are wonderfully increasing my transcendental pleasure. And next one, Krishna's transcendental flute playing. So I got the numbers switched here because there's a different number in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So one is 62, 63 in this teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the numbers are reversed. So he's expert at transcendental flute playing, Krishna. And we may think there may be several devotees who know how to play flute, even non-devotees. We all, what is special about flute playing quality? I can also play. But Krishna's flute playing is different. Yeah. Krishna's flute playing makes things exhibit their reverse tendencies. Yamuna changes her course. The waters freeze and the rocks melt. That is Krishna's flute, transcendental potency. In the 10th canto, 35th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, gopis are telling Mother Yashoda, when your son plays on his flute, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Indra, although they are supposed to be the greatest learned scholars and personalities, all become bewildered. Although they are all very great personalities, by hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, they humbly bow down and become grave from studying the sound vibrated. And we also hear in other places that this source, Krishna's flute, the sound is the source of even Gayatri Mantra. And in Vidagdha Madhava, Rupa Goswami says the sound vibration created by the flute of Krishna wonderfully stopped Lord Shiva from playing his Dindima drum. And the same flute has caused great sages like the four Kumaras to become disturbed in their meditation. It has caused Lord Brahma, who was sitting on the lotus flower for the creative function, to become astonished. And Ananta Deva, who was calmly holding all the planets on his hood, was moving in this way, and that due to the transcendental vibration from Krishna's flute, which penetrated to the covering of this universe and reached the spiritual sky. Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many things described on Krishna's flute playing. I just have for sample two of these things, but how they're very, very attractive, these qualities. And next, Krishna, he's surrounded by loving devotees. So that was 62 and this is 63. Krishna is surrounded by his loving devotees. Always devotees are very, very anxious to be with Krishna in various rasas. In the 10th canto, 31st chapter, verse 15 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis are lamenting, "My dear Krishna, during the daytime when you go out into the forest of Vrindavana with your cows, we consider one moment to be 12 years. And it is very difficult for us to pass the time. And again, when you come back at the end of the day, by seeing your beautiful face, we are so much attached that we are unable to stop looking upon you constantly. At these times, when there is occasional blinking of our eyelids, we condemn the creator Lord Brahma as a dunce because he does not know how to make perfect eyes." So we can imagine we get restless in our bhakti. We're chanting, when will this chanting be over? We are standing in a temple looking at the deities, but when I'm going to go talk to others, or take prasadam or go home. But we can see here the gopis and say many, many acharyas, even on the deities, they wrote many poems that it's very hard for me to take my vision away from your beautiful form of the Lord. And the gopis, they are blaming Brahma. They're considering him to be not very intelligent, because he has made eyelids, and eyelids require blinking. If you don't blink, eyes go bad. A doctor will tell you, if you are sitting in front of computer for too long, learn to blink as a practice so that your eyes will be healthy. So, but the gopis here, they're condemning Brahma, that they cannot stop but just being with Krishna and seeing him all the time. So devotees are so anxious to surround him all the time. And of course, the topmost of them here, the gopis, their statement is given in Nectar of Devotion. One gopi expressing herself to Krishna says, "When we meet you at night, we consider the duration of night to be very small. And why speak of only this night? Even if you had a night of Brahma, we would consider it a very short time." Now, one night of Brahma is 4.3 billion years. And this gopi is saying it is a very small fraction of time. So one thing that we need to understand is time. What is time? Time is a relative thing. It's not a mechanical thing. When we spend time with our loved ones, it flies like anything. Holidays finish quickly, but the working days seem to be very long. What does that mean? That means when there is pure love, time shrinks. And actually, time becomes inconspicuous. In the spiritual world, time is not perceived at all because there's so much ecstasy, it seems there is no time. Time is absent. Because every moment, there's so much joy. Only when there is separation, then it's like, oh, now the separation seems long. But in terms of the amount of time spent, she's saying it's very small. So that is the anxiety of devotees to be with Krishna. He's always surrounded by loving devotees. But the last one is Krishna's exquisite beauty. Krishna's beauty is unparalleled. There's no more than Krishna's beauty, or there's no equal to Krishna's beauty. It's very powerful, exquisite beauty of Krishna. And this is Uddhava saying in the third canto that we were talking about, third canto, first three chapters. This is in the second chapter, verse 12. My dear sir, Krishna's form was most wonderful when he appeared on this planet and exhibited the potency of his internal energy. His wonderfully attractive form was present during his pastimes on this planet, and by his internal potency, he exhibited his opulences, which are striking to everyone. His personal beauty was so great that there was no necessity for his wearing ornaments on his body. In fact, instead of the ornaments beautifying Krishna, Krishna's beauty enhanced the ornaments. Bhushana Bhushanangam. Krishna's body itself was like a decoration for the ornaments. It beautified the ornaments. Krishna beautified the ornaments that he was wearing. And Krishna's beauty is so much that one day Krishna happened to see the shadow of his beautiful form reflected on the jeweled foreground. Upon seeing this bodily reflection, he expressed his feelings. Oh, how wonderful it is that I have never seen such a beautiful form. Although it is my own form, still, like Radharani, I am trying to embrace this form and enjoy celestial bliss. And you might have seen this picture where Krishna is looking at his reflection in the marble. He's looking at his own form. And he's like, wow, who is this so attractive person? Oh, that's my beauty. This is what is attractive to Srimati Radharani. This is what makes her crazy. And even Krishna is attracted to his own beauty. So these are the four different qualities of Krishna. His beauty, he's surrounded by his devotees, his playing of flute. And what was the first one that we discussed? Yes, is Leela, right? Leela Madhurya. Leela Madhurya. Yes, so these are the four qualities unique about Krishna than any other incarnation. So then Radharani's qualities are also described. We will not go into those details in the interest of time. But one thing I want to point out is there's a beautiful coloring book. One devotee made a coloring book. And those pictures used to be, they were there on ISKCON Desire Tree when my daughter was young. Those were the things that I used to print the most, and she used to color them all the time. And then the book came out. She had the book and very nice pictures. If you just look at those pictures and have the children color them, they look so beautiful. Each one of the page describes one quality of Srimati Radharani. So we can just read what Prabhupada said in there, these couple of lines. Srimati Radharani has 25 transcendental qualities with which she can control even Krishna. This is the greatness of Srimati Radharani. While Krishna is so attractive and there's no parallel for his beauty, but Radharani's qualities of getting attracted to Krishna is so powerful that with those qualities she will even control Krishna. That is why she is called Madana Mohana Mohini. Thus, Krishna and Radharani are both transcendentally qualified and they attract one another. But Radharani's transcendental attractiveness is greater than Krishna's. For her attractiveness is the transcendental taste in conjugal love. So I said Krishna performs wonderful pastimes, which is so great about Krishna. But who is stimulating those pastimes? It is Srimati Radharani. She is giving pleasure to Krishna. When Radharani is not there in the Rasa dance, Krishna goes looking for her. And he says, without you, I don't get pleasure. So Radharani is attractive to Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying, her transcendental attractiveness is greater than Krishna's. So then later section, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sanatana Goswami about what a proper sannyasa is. Prabhupada describes that one should not accept sannyasa without having perfect knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And then what to speak of these transcendental pastimes. These are very, very higher pastimes even beyond sannyasa, because Krishna is attracted even to those who are liberated, that we have seen. So he is on a very, very a pure devotee, is at much higher level than just mundane sannyasa. And then Srila Prabhupada discusses the qualities of a devotee, specifically from chapter 12 of the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, Prabhupada cites multiple paraphrases, not cites. Citing means you give the verse as is, but paraphrase means you express the content in your own words. So Prabhupada has paraphrased chapter 12, Bhagavad Gita, many different verses where Krishna says who is dear to him. He says among those things, is a priyosi, and that bhakta is very, very dear to me. And he gives many, many different qualities of chapter 12 of the Bhagavad Gita. Then finally, Lord Chaitanya, he instructs Rupa Goswami to write literature on the process of bhakti. And he also tells him to, somebody is relentlessly calling him. So he also tells Sanatana Goswami to excavate the places of Krishna's pastimes. And this is what the six Goswamis have done. And Sanatana Goswami has established Radha Madan Mohan temple in Vrindavan. He wrote Hari Bhakti Vilasa, which also is the basis for many things that Rupa Goswami is saying in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also. And there's various other literature Sanatana Goswami has given. But however, what made Sanatana Goswami qualified is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And this is the most important point, is the advancement in bhakti comes from the mercy of Guru. What to speak of advancement, even the bhakti itself, the bhakti bija itself is given to us by the pure devotees. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada says, he puts his feet on the head of Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami begs, my Lord, you are teaching these things to me. But how can I realize these things? Like right now we are all discussing the theory. But it seems to be like a big mountain and we are at the base of the mountain. How am I going to climb all the way up there? And that, Prabhupada is saying, we need the mercy. We need the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So Srila Sanatana Goswami said, my Lord, unless I have your mercy, it is not possible for me to understand these things. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him and gave him the mercy. And he did the same thing with Rupa Goswami also. He empowered, even though Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, he did not write different literature. He just gave Shikshasakam, those 8 verses. But the entire work is done by the Goswamis. They wrote all the literature. That's why the Goswamis are our leaders in Krishna consciousness movement. So I will stop here. I have some more slides just to describe some basics of bhakti, but if there are questions or anything, if needed, I'll go there. I'll stop here so we can have any comments or questions from devotees.
Hi, Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much. It was very well presented, Prabhu. I know you worked really hard on these slides. But it's my, you know, fault. I'll ask forgiveness from you that in spite of you telling me that you are so busy in your schedule, but still I literally forced you. And moreover, I didn't give you an ample amount of time to cover the subject matter. You know, this is really a vast subject matter. And as you said, that just the eastern wave of NOD takes a couple of weeks to cover. And this southern wave, I just told you to cover in 1 hour. Which is really impossible to do.
Yeah.
But the topics that you touched upon and you explained were very, very crystal clear. And the way you explained, the way you presented is awesome, Prabhu. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. But definitely we would love to hear in detail about all this. So no hurries whenever you have time, you know, you can always help us out. But thank you so much. Really, really indebted to you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Mataji. I took, you know, your invitation as Krishna's instruction. Last time when I could not do when you asked, my life did not go good. So I was scared this time.
Krishna. Nothing like that, Prabhu.
No, I meant to say, you know, Krishna sometimes, my nature is to study and read. And when I don't do that, I know it's not good for me. So sometimes through devotees, Krishna makes me do it. So, so
nice.
Thank you. In that sense, I am indebted to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Really.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for such a fantastic class. Whatever Ketira Sundari Mataji said is very, very true. It was so nice, so detailed and so nicely covered, Prabhu. It was a very peaceful class. I don't know, I really loved the class. The mood of the class was so wonderful. Thank you for touching upon the speciality of Krishna in such beautiful ways about the rasas, the flute, and every little aspect was so nice and relishable. I really don't have questions, but I wanted to take a moment to thank you and appreciate this wonderful class, Prabhu. Very grateful. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you. Thank you. I also felt the same way as Kirtirashi. It's a very calm, a very, very sweet class. A very, like you said, it seemed very, very peaceful. You're presented very, very nicely. And the one point, the second one, there's so much information. I actually want to go through it again and take down notes. I was listening and taking notes, but there was so much information. But the one thing that stuck in my mind when you said, we should follow the Leela. So, you know, they always tell us, you know, you should pick a devotee, you know, pick one devotee and follow that devotee. And that seems, I mean, I couldn't really understand what that meant. But when you said, follow the Leela, it kind of changed the perspective for me a minute. I thought it's more of the mood of that devotee that we are, you know, following that whole tendency. And so when you meditate upon the Leela itself, then you can actually imbibe that mood. And that's what kind of feeling that I got. So that was very, very helpful for me. So I appreciate that very much. So that was my jewel that I picked up from your class today. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji, for that comment. One thing on that, one time what my Guru Maharaj said is, in Raganuga Bhakti, of course, it's not artificial, we should not imitate anything, but in the Raganuga Bhakti, which starts, you know, later after anarthas are gone and we develop some attachment, we follow the mood of one of the devotees, and some of the things are simple, like when we're worshiping the deity on the altar, we make an offering. It's as simple as, you know, what is Mother Yashoda's mood when she makes something for Krishna? You know, Krishna told her that you're going to cook for me, and then she immediately went home to do her service because she wants to please Krishna. And it's as simple as that. Prabhupada, one time, he was showing devotees how to make offering. And one devotee told me the story, and Prabhupada was literally offering to Krishna, and he put the offering in the front. He said, you know, you can simply pray. And Prabhupada prayed, oh my Lord, you are the Supreme Lord, and I'm so insignificant, and I'm making this insignificant offering to you. And this is not up to your standard, but you please kindly accept this offering. And Srila Prabhupada started crying. And this devotee explained me that they thought that this is how they should offer every time. They should go on the altar and cry. But Prabhupada was, you know, out of simplicity, he was just showing you can just ask Krishna to eat. But there was so much love in Prabhupada. That's the mood that Mother, you are saying, right? It's the mood. What was the mood of Mother Yashoda? What is the mood of these pure devotees when they make some offering? And that's all it means is we worship them, and then we pray to them that we may have a little right mood. And this is how we try to take baby steps in developing proper mood. Okay, anyone else? Anything? Any comments, questions? If not, we can end.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my Dhanavad Pranam. What a fabulous class, Prabhu. Thank you so much for the detailed explanation. I have a small question, Prabhu, regarding the Leela Madhuri, flute, Prabhu. Yeah, pastimes of flute. So when Krishna plays his flute, is there any particular time in this day, Prabhu, or how he plays his flute? Like, what is his indication for playing the flute?
Wow, I don't know. there are different, Krishna's pastimes are going on continuously, you know, in this universe and other universes. And even in Vrindavan, there are Ashtakaliya Leelas going always, different pastimes. But in one sense, you know, every single pastime may be going on in other place, in different universes. So when he plays the flute, I specifically don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, Prabhu. Okay.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, Prabhu, for this wonderful class. Yeah. So many doubts are clarified through your class, Prabhu. And I see you have mentioned a lot of times your Guru Maharaj. Can I know your Guru Maharaj, Prabhu?
His Holiness Hanumat Preshaka Swami.
Haribol. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Are there any questions for Prabhuji?
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Shama Supriya Madhuri. Before we go ahead, I would like to ask Prabhuji, like, Prabhuji, do you have time? I know you are in, you know, crunch with your office work. So yeah. Would you like to take up more questions? Or
maybe 5 more minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, Shama Supriya Madhuri, you can.
Sure. Okay, I see. Gail Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. This is a repetition question. If you could just repeat what out of those 64 qualities, Lord Shiva had some partially. What were those? I mean, is it in the 60? Like compared to Narayan, right? Narayan has 60. Can you compare that to Lord Shiva?
Yes. We can go here. So these are the 5 qualities. Are you able to see the screen? One second.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So these are the 5 qualities. He's always situated in his original condition. He's omniscient. He's evergreen or always fresh. He's eternally blissful. He's the master of all perfection. So, but these are partially in Lord Shiva, even those. there may be, you know, what do you mean by the master of all perfection, right? So how perfect? But that's why here Prabhupada uses the word partially in Lord Shiva, but these are the ones here Prabhupada mentions. This is in Nectar of Devotion, or maybe even in this chapter it was there, yeah.
But I wonder how he could be like partially omniscient. I mean, I would think either you're omniscient or you're not.
Well, even Balaram, right? So Balaram initially couldn't detect that Krishna is the one who expanded. And so, you know, all-knowing, but at the same time, there's a domain of all-knowing. Prabhupada gives the example of an engineer or a CEO knowing the company about the industry, what's going on. And even Lord Brahma is sometimes compared to Super Soul, Paramatma, but there are limitations on their strengths. Or I would say, in the case of Lord Shiva, probably how much that expansion, because Lord Shiva himself is the transformation of Krishna himself, unlike a living entity. So it could be just how much Krishna chooses to manifest through that particular Leela, right? So same thing with all these things. Each of these 64 qualities, and also English words also sometimes may not convey a proper or exact meaning on what Sanskrit is trying to say. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has Sanskrit word and also some description of what each of these are. So I can look up some detailed information and send you on that omniscient part if you want, on what Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is saying about that particular thing. I haven't gone deep into that one.
Okay, now that's deep enough. But yeah. Just one other clarification I needed was when you were discussing Vibhav, you know, I think it was Vibhav, yeah. And you were saying that one way in which Krishna one way in which he evokes the love of the devotees, he does it in a covered way. Yes. And he does it, I think, through
different
expansion. Excuse me?
Yes. Yeah. In a different form. Anya Rupa means in another form. Yeah. You could say expansion. Yeah.
So when you say covered, is that different from expansion?
I mean disguised. I think disguised is a better word.
Okay. So disguised, yeah. Would that form be like Brahma Vimohan Leela thing?
Disguised, the example I gave is that when he dressed himself up as a queen of Dwaraka.
Uh-huh.
So that's the example for that Avrita Rupa that Rupa Goswami gives.
Okay, so when he expanded himself as the cowherd boys and calves, that would not be disguised.
That's called Anya Rupa. Anya Rupa means another form. He was, uh-huh, he has taken another form. So because the whole point is that being attracted to Krishna's personality, Krishna's form, but the same Krishna is acting as a cowherd, another cowherd boy, but he's Krishna himself expanded into another cowherd boy form, which is different from now Krishna is already there. He just put on some other dress, right?
Yeah.
So that's the difference between those two.
Okay. So these two under Vibhav character, category, does that fall under Udipana or
Alambana?
The both of them fall under Alambana, right?
Yes, they are Alambana because they're talking about the form, the personal form.
Uh-huh.
In Udipana, the emphasis on the qualities, right?
Okay.
But then the qualities are part of the form, so you see some overlapping in the categories.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mataji. So I think we will wrap up now.
Yes, Prabhu. I don't see any more raised hands. Yes, Prabhu, we can end your call. Once again, thank you so much, Prabhu, for taking your precious time and giving this wonderful nectar, Prabhu. So I would like to pay my obeisances to you and all the devotees on the call. Vancha Kalpataru Yascha Krupa Sindhu Bhyeva Cha.
patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाए, रामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जाए, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाए, टीचिंग्स ऑफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य की जाए, हिज ग्रेस श्रीनिवास आचार्य प्रभु की जाए जाय। थैंक यू सो मच प्रभु। हरे कृष्ण।
प्रणाम
एवरीवन फॉर जॉइनिंग।